The story in England goes back to 1988 and the Education Reform Act that year, which effectively gave schools much greater decision-making rights over everything from budgets and staffing issues through to the curriculum to some extent, or certainly decisions around pedagogy and classroom strategies that they could use to improve. By cutting forward, you know, 20, 30 years, by 2009, PISA, the OECD would say that the UK and England would be the most extreme example of this. Within the UK, was amongst the top three countries internationally in terms of the level of autonomy and decision-making rights that school leaders have. So we already had a very autonomous school system and a very accountable school system. We have our national inspectorate, Ofsted, we have national tests, we have parental choice of schools, you know, a number of kind of quasi-market mechanisms in place, which are about trying to increase the pressure on school leaders to improve, both through market mechanisms and accountability mechanisms. What then happened in 2010 was a new coalition government led by the Conservatives, so the centre-right party, in partnership with the Lib Dems. And then in 2015, a further election where the Conservatives won an overall majority. And so we're seeing now a continuation of, you know, the shift in policy that happened in 2010 is now continuing in 2015 and will continue at least until 2020. Broadly, what that did was that whilst there were elements of this already happening under the Labour government that had been in power for 13 years prior to 2010, what Labour's broad approach was very much a kind of what I would call a universalist approach. So whenever there was an issue or a problem that needed to be solved, the answer in policy terms was, you know, we need a pot of money, we need to bring together the experts who will write a toolkit or a training program of some sort, or set an, you know, a new set of rules and regulations that schools must adhere to, and we'll roll that out. So it was all about implementation and fidelity and field forces and things like that. And the expectation was that every school would engage in every initiative. And I think the downside, you know, whilst there were upsides to that in terms of equity, you could argue there were downsides in the sense that it became a kind of lowest common denominator approach. By contrast, the coalition and now the Conservatives were much more interested, I think, in what I would characterise as a trickle-down approach. So setting a high bar, whether that's in terms of the attainment levels and the kind of basket of measures that would be used to develop, to define whether or not a secondary school is doing well, whether that's to do with raising the bar in terms of the standard of expectations in the curriculum or in the assessment level for a particular subject area, or whether that's the quality and the kind of degree class level that we would expect a new teacher to have. So, for example, you know, they set an expectation that in order to get public funding, you would need to have a 2-1 or a first in your degree, rather than, you know, Labour would have accepted a lower quality mm. bar. So their kind of trickle-down mentality was set a high bar, you know, hope that some people reach that bar and then hope that others learn from that and that spreads and trickles out. Now, of course, we know from the economics that that doesn't necessarily happen, and this has been one of the challenges. So what the coalition has also done is strip away vast swathes of infrastructure that had built up around schools, particularly the local authorities. So they introduced new legislation in 2010 which allowed any school that was good or outstanding in Ofsted terms to convert to become an academy, which would mean that rather than getting their funding through the local authority and being legally maintained by the local authority, meaning that the local authority had some level of oversight of them whilst they were relatively autonomous, and the school board or the governing body, as it's called here, makes the decisions about appointing the head teacher, appointing the staff, you know, signing off the budget and so on. Nevertheless, as a maintained school, you would still be required to act within the local family of schools and stick to the local authority's kind of overall oversight, and they would have the power to intervene if they felt that you weren't doing a good enough job. As an academy, you get your funding direct from central government, and therefore you really are beholden to no one. You're also given additional freedoms or autonomies. You don't have to apply the national curriculum. You don't have to employ qualified teachers, and so on and so forth. So now we're in a position in 2015 where I think about 80% of secondary schools, high schools are now academies, and it's rising up, getting towards 20%, I think, of primary schools that are academies. It's been much slower in primary because they have less capacity, they have less desire to take on a lot of the kind of additional responsibilities that come with all those freedoms being offered.